You know, there's a message the Holy Spirit gave me this morning. I can only share with you that more and more of the enemy's tactics are being exposed. I've shared already that we are in the last days and we're actually in the falling away. Many people don't understand the circumstance of the falling away. So, the Bible tells us that before the son of perdition is revealed, the falling away must come first. And we have some tapes that we've been talking, teaching on about the falling away probably from the last 3 weeks. And it's essential because it's a part of end time delusions. And in this end time delusions, the enemy is putting many people out of position. Not only putting out of position, but they're causing spiritual abortion. We've talked about spiritual abortion last week. You and I can no longer do the things that we thought, that we assumed, that we feel. We must do the things that God tells us to do. In obedience. Obedience is what brings favor in our life. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. I want to talk about, war. Prepare for war. You and I, God is preparing me and you right now for war that is going to be the greatest battle in the spirit before it manifests in the natural realm. We call it Megiddo or Armageddon, which is going to manifest in a natural realm. But I'm going to tell you something first, that there's going to be a powerful war that God is preparing us right now in the spirit. Would you turn to Joel chapter 3? Oh, hallelujah. Joel chapter 3. Glory to God. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. In verse 9, in Joel chapter 3, in verse 9, is everybody there? Joel, J-O-E-L. Joel's place. We're going to Joel's place today. In verse 9, would you read it with me? Proclaim this among the nations, prepare for war. Say that again. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men and let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. In other words, God is going to begin to wake up the mighty warrior that's within you. That's what's happening right now. He's waking up the, by waking up it means that, whoa, things that you didn't see before you're going to begin to see now. Things that you didn't realize before are beginning to become more manifest to you. Things that you tried to ignore before you can't ignore anymore. Things that you thought were right, you're finding out are now wrong. Things that you thought were holy or clean, now you're finding out are not holy and clean. Because you're awakening. There's an awakening going on right now. Because it's the man, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the commander in chief. He's not the commander in chief of a fleet of boats and stuff, He's not the captain of the yacht. Hello? He's the captain and commander of a military war. And you and I are his weapons. Oh, hallelujah. And what the enemy wants to do is disarm us. He wants to disarm the kingdom of light. There's a war going on. We got a wonderful teaching calling. If you're not in the battle, you become a casualty. But right now, there's a preparation for a mighty move not only of God's Spirit, but there's a mighty move of the enemy. See, every time God begins to move something or begin to shift in the Spirit, the enemy always comes to try to throw it off track or move God's people out of the way or bring something in their path to bring their delusion so that they lose track of things. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. In Joel chapter 3 and verse 9, he says, "Proclaim this among the nations, prepare for war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up, beat your plowshares into swords." In other words, look it. It's time to stop being a weenie and become a soldier. "And your pruning hooks into spears, let the weak say, I am strong." Come on, say it with me. "Let the weak say, I am strong." See, they're bringing. He's causing us to make confession. He's causing us to come out of ourself and be recognized as the Christ that's within us, who's greater than he who's in the world. But see, the enemy brings that delusion that he's... Why does the devil always win? He brings that delusion. You know, it seems like the body of Christ is just getting its butt kicked. But in true reality, many people are coming into the kingdom more than you realize. And I'm not saying many people aren't leaving. But on their deathbed, they're going to probably get saved. But why wait till your deathbed? We got a job to do now. Amen? It's all a part of the falling away, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. "Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come down, come, go down. For the winepress is full, the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great." Oh, hallelujah. "Multitude, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." And this is where you and I have got to make the decisions. We've got to make the decision of whether we're really willing to come out of just becoming a believer and becoming a servant. Then you come from a believer to a servant to a warrior. It's no longer just serving in the body of Christ. It's now leading in the body of Christ. Now it's becoming a warrior that you rescue. You're willing to give up your life for whatever it takes. You must be able to hear the voice of God. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 14, "Multitude, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion." Zion means the body of Christ here. There's a physical and a spiritual place. Zion is the body of Christ. He's going to roar from the body of Christ. That's me and you. "And utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel." Is everybody with me? The valley of decision. Now look at, in the Old Testament, there was more of a physical fight, wasn't there? Even though it was a spiritual fight, you saw it manifest in the natural realm. That's why God told all the kings and so forth, go kill, you know, the families and the soldiers and everything else. And because he knew that the spirits were using these individuals. Not that spirits don't use individuals now, but it was more of a physical manifestation because it wasn't a ministry of the Spirit yet, but now it's a ministry of the Spirit because God called his army through the blood of Christ into his kingdom that now you and I could be the walking presence of God. Amen. So listen. Now, the Old Testament is more of a physical, and the New Testament is more of a spiritual. But the greatest breakout of war is coming. The greatest breakout of war is around the corner. And if you think your fight was rough now, wait. It's going to be the greatest battle that you're going to have to go through. And it's already beginning. But it's going to increase more and more. And God is preparing us for war. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Can you turn up the AC a little? Thank you. Hallelujah! 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Is everybody there? 2 Corinthians 10. And verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. A stronghold is a memory lie. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The greatest battle that is about to come forth, the greatest outbreak of war, is going to be the war of your mind. Sorry. That's what's going to happen. War of the mind, end time delusions, rebellion, hatred, confusion, all of these things are associated with, I mean, you know, if you look here, look how many people are falling short of what God has called them to do. They're so falling short because self is still involved. They're falling short of what God's called them to do. They're actually falling from the faith. The Bible tells us that in Timothy, that many will fall from the faith, taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. It's happening. The greatest outbreak of war will be the war over your mind. Because that's where the battle is. He is preparing us right now. Let me tell you something. The things that he has been teaching us in this house in the last 3 or 4 weeks about end time delusions and everything is preparing you for the outbreak that's about to happen. Even greater. Even greater. And listen, you've got to know these things, learn these things, and be able to teach these things, because if you don't, you'll be caught up right with them. It's important. The greatest outbreak of war will be over your mind. Is everybody with me? Go to Genesis 6. Starting at verse 1. Would you read it with me? Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God, these sons of God were known as angels, saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. So these angels that put on flesh came into the natural realm and began to take wives, and they had sex with them. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. That's how demons came out. These were the mighty men of war of old, men of renown. Now, if you remember, I mean, you know, you think about an angel coming in the flesh, putting on flesh, and these angels are powerful. They're not little, they're big. They knew great knowledge and all kinds of things. They began to sway people in different directions. They began to take wives and so forth. That's where a lot of the myths from Zeus came and all the other stuff of these mythical religions and beliefs. And so they began to infiltrate because they were sent by the powers of darkness, to infiltrate because they wanted to stop the seed from coming in, which was the seed of Christ. They didn't know when, who, or how, but Satan knew because the Lord already told him when he was judging him. He said, My seed will hate your seed, her seed, right? Is everybody with me? And he said, But this is my seed when it comes in. It's going to bust your head. You may bruise his heel, but he's going to bust your head. And he said, Ain't no way nobody going to bust my head. I'm going to kill all those seeds. So he sent a couple of hundred angels into the world, put on flesh, because he knew that they were what was going to happen to them. He wouldn't do it himself. Those are the angels that are chained and bound for the day of judgment. They're called fallen angels. Is everybody with me? In fact, that's why Satan is going to actually come into the natural realm in the flesh. He's going to come himself. That's why he will be bound for 1,000 years, because he disobeyed God by coming into the flesh. Is everybody with me? Okay. So we see there that when these powers of darkness, these angels came in. These demonic forces, they began to attack mankind with mindful lusts. They began to sway them away from God and began to sway them into the arena of self-containment, self-worth, selfishness. Me, myself, and I. We'll go a little further. Now look at in verse 5, would you read it with me? Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the what? Thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Well, why do you think God is going to destroy man again? It's the same reason. Except for he made a promise, I won't do it with water. This time I'm going to cook you. Hallelujah. In verse 6. And the Lord was very sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Thank God. See, that word grace is what's rescued me and you from the next judgment. And also rescued Noah from the judgment. Amen? So we see that these demonic forces that were attacking mankind with mindful lust, selfishness, and pride, you know, was all about what's happening right now. I'm telling you again, the greatest breakout of war will be the war of the mind. It will be the war of the mind. And God is preparing me and you right now for war. Remember what we just said. It says casting down arguments, thoughts, imaginations, things. Well, if you don't know the difference, you're going to get caught up right with it and get swept away. You're going to miss the fulfillment of what God has called you to do. You're going to miss the full reward that He has prepared for you. And these end time delusions. People still playing games, not being serious. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now listen, it also talked about Noah, who was a righteous man, right? He was a righteous man whose mind was kept on the Lord. His mind was kept on the Lord. No matter what. See, in this end time, it's amazing how many people don't think that Jesus sees it all. What a delusion. Like he doesn't know. They lose that reverence. Something David said powerfully. He says, I always see the Lord at my right side or my right hand. Kept him close to him. Go to Romans 8. Oh, hallelujah. In Romans chapter 8. The greatest battle, the greatest outbreak of war will be in your mind. In Romans chapter 8. We got another wonderful teaching called Who Told You That? Let me share something with you. The Bible says, renew your mind. Do not be conformed to the world, but renew your mind. Be transformed. Amen? Be transformed in the ways of Christ, right? By renewing your mind. The word renewed means to bring to remembrance. Because the carnal mind can't be changed. You must take dominion over it with the mind of Christ, who is the Holy Spirit. The carnal mind cannot be changed. I don't care what you do. That's why it's still sometimes your first reactions are rebellion. That's why sometimes your first reactions are me. Me. People get offended real quick. Oh! It's because that flesh is still there. You know, that carnal spirit. In fact, the word mind is a representation of the carnal spirit. It's why people run out and go do dope, lust, and fornicate, and whatever it is. Because it's a part of the carnal mind. It's kind of the fallen nature that loves to fulfill of self. Amen? In Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 1, would you read it with me? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, this is powerful. Okay, now we're talking about this breakout of war that's going to be in the mind, right? And we just talked about that in the book of Genesis. It said that because their thoughts were continually evil, God what? Brought judgment and destroyed them. This is the same thing that's going to happen again. So he says here now, look at those who are believers, those who are in Christ, there is no condemnation. There is no judgment. Is everybody with me? There's no judgment to those who come to those who claim to be believers who are walking in the Spirit, but those who claim to be believers who are walking in the flesh, there will be. Does everybody understand that? Hallelujah. Because the word believe means to what? Follow. That means you're obedient. See, that means you're not doing your thing, you're doing God's thing. Whatever He wants you to do. So there's no condemnation to someone who's proclaiming to be a believer who's in the Spirit. But there is condemnation to the one who's in the flesh. First of all, there's condemnation because if you're in the flesh, the devil has access to you. And you think he's going to want you to live and give glory to God? No. The Bible says that the devil's come to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So he's after you. Why is he after you? Because you carry the will of God. Whether you choose to obey it or not, you're still carrying the will of God in you. Whether you choose to let the will of God manifest through you or not, the devil still knows that you carry the will of God. And his purpose is to destroy you before the will of God can be manifested in you and through you. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. So there's no condemnation or judgment to those who are in the Spirit, but there is to those who are in the flesh. Now, go to verse 3, or verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of the sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Might be fulfilled in us. Might be fulfilled. That means you got a choice. That is going to be fulfilled in me and you if what? Those that the righteous requirement of law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. There's a difference. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The natural mind is always going to rebel against God. That's its purpose. It's a fallen nature. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor can, or indeed can it be. It can't. It must be renewed. Is everybody with me? It must be reminded. And it's done by the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. That's why He's called the mind of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But those who are in the Spirit please Him. Does everybody understand what was just spoke? In Christ, which is representation of believers, those who walk with the Holy Spirit and those who don't. There's a difference. Those who are walking according to their way and doing their thing and fulfilling of the flesh. Now, walking in the flesh is also fulfilling of the flesh. Amen? Walking in the flesh means fulfilling of the flesh. And you can read it in Galatians, the works of the flesh and so forth. Fornication and so forth. You know, selfishness and things of that degree. Go to Psalm 56. So the greatest outbreak of war will be the war over your mind. In Psalm 56. Oh, hallelujah. Would you start with verse 1 with me? Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, He oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God I will praise His word. In God I will put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? One of the things that the enemy does is bring fear, doesn't he? Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. So he's going to activate those two things, and it's going to be the greatest outbreak in these last days. In fact, he's already attempting that right now by through terrorists. He's bringing fear to the world. Now they're concerned about all the immigrants and so forth like that coming through the borders and whatever, you know, because they're afraid of things that are being lost. And not only that, if the borders are not protected, well, then other things are coming in anyways. How do you really know how many nuclear bombs are set up in the United States already, ready to go off by terrorists? I mean, if they were able to get through the borders. So the borders have really not been protected in a long time, have they? That's how smugglers and everything else got involved, bringing stuff in. But we see here right now that the enemy's tactic is also to bring deception and fear. That's his purpose. Why? Because he wants to destroy mankind. He still believes that he can defeat God Almighty. Talk about delusion. Well, he's the master of it, right? So he's got to carry the most. He's probably more afraid of you than you are of him, but you don't know that. Why? Because he brings a delusion that you're afraid of him. Hello? What a better way to put somebody in the bondage than make them afraid? Look at what they do with these maniacs that are out there and so forth. And they take people captive and those demons that take possess individuals and they cause people to abuse other people and so forth. These husbands that abuse their wives, what are they trying to do? They try to cause fear. So they have men bondage. Amen? It's amazing because you can counsel with a woman that's been abused many times and you tell them, well, look, you don't have to stay. I got to stay. Well, come out. You got a demon of fear. No? You got a demon of fear. But, you know, those things have been imparted. That's why they have places for abused women. They stay there. I mean, some of them have died because of the fear of leaving. Same thing with children. You know? I mean, listen, faith is not about fear. It's about reverence. You can preach so much brimstone and whatever, you know? I mean, yes, there is a hell. And there is a heaven. But God doesn't want us to fear going to hell. That should be the last fear. The first fear should be reverence unto Him with love. We do the things because we love Him, not because we're afraid to go into hell. But we want to do the things that are obedient because and it's not about a full reward, but we want to please Him. Amen? But one of the things that we don't want to do is make way for the devil in our life. Why? Because He's the one that brings the torment. He's the one that brings confusion. He's the one that brings division. He's the one that brings strife. He's the one that brings the mind. You know how many people are taken captive of the mind? It's ridiculous. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 5, all day they twist my words. Whoa. Their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps when they lie in wait for my life. Shall they escape by iniquity? In anger, cast down the peoples, O God. Now listen, they twist my words. I'm telling you something. That's powerful because I see that manifest right in front of me. Somebody come up to me and talk to me, ask me a question, this, that, ask me what they can do or what they can't do. I'll tell them exactly what. Next thing, they go do whatever they want to do. Well, you said this. I never said that. See, people had a tendency to want, and in the area of want, to do what they want to do that's going in the flesh, they twist words. That's called manipulation, and it's a demon. Is everybody with me? That's a spirit. People can't wait on God. Oh, I got to do this now. It's open now. I got to do this now. It's a spirit of anxiety. Then they twist around. Well, you know, they begin to justify it. They begin to manipulate. They begin to do all of these things. And that's what he was talking about right here. So these, he called them his enemies. And all day they twist my words. Everything I try to say, they twist. And verse 8, you number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. Now he says this again. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I will put my trust. I am not afraid. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? See, he knew, he kept making that confession because he realized that the enemy is beating him in the mind. He's beating him in the thought pattern. The enemy can only take you captive in the mind first. That's where the fight's at, the battlefield of the mind. Amen? The greatest outbreak of war will be the war of the mind. And this is where you and I have to be strong and know and have discernment of what's going on. You've got to ask yourself, who's telling me this? You've got to check your own fruits. You can't justify anything. There is no justification. It's called manipulation. When God tells you to do something, you do it. You don't justify it. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. He said that he trusts God. Well, why can't people trust God? Because they fear. Satan's greatest power is fear. And his deception, his greatest weapon is deception. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Psalm 49. Some of the, in this war, in this outbreak of war that's going to happen, these are some of the high fruits that you're going to see, high manifestations, twisted words. Twisted words. In Psalm 49, let's see here, verse 11, I think it is. Start at verse 10. For he sees wise men die, likewise the fool and the senseless person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inner thought is that their houses will last forever. Their dwelling places to all generations. They lose the reality of consequences. They lose reality of consequences. This is a part of this outbreak of war in the mind. They begin to twist words for justification and manipulation. And they lose the consequences of their thoughts, what they're about to do. They can't think, they can't go there because their minds are taken captive. They can't fathom that. The reality of consequences has been put aside. Is everybody with me? The reality of, come on, repeat it with me because this is so important. The reality of consequences has been put aside. Oh, this is a part of the outbreak. They lose the reality of consequences, which then, you know, comes judgments. Amen? What you reap, or what you sow is what you what? Reap. Proverbs 23. I see it happen more now than I've seen it before. I see it happen right in front of my eyes. I see it happen more now than I've ever seen it before. When my spirit cried out to the Lord and said, why? This is what he brought me to. Why? He said, prepare for war, guy. And prepare your people that they may know. Because if they're snagged in this right now, they can get set free from it. or it's going to get worse, and it'll get deeper caught in. When a time of my spirit comes, they're going to miss me, because that's the purpose, what the spirit's trying, the powers of darkness are trying to do, is to get us out of position. Positioning is vital. Proverbs 23, and verse 7. Verse 6. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. So as a person thinks, so he is. Is everybody with me? Now we've heard this over and over and over before. As a person thinks, so if the enemy can get you captive in the thoughts, then you become what you think. You don't know you're becoming what you think. Do you understand that? Because that's the delusion. That's the deception. Everybody else sees what's becoming of you, but you can't. Everybody else sees that when you begin to twist words, or when you say you're going to do something and you don't, or you don't realize some of the things that you've just said, and it's like, what's the matter? Or you said you're making a vow or a promise or something, and you just cast it off. Or you do something and go, why don't you see what the consequences of that? Because of the end time delusions. I'm telling you, God is preparing us for the greatest outbreak of war, and it'll be the war of the mind. Hallelujah. As a man thinks, so he is. Colossians chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. That's why the Lord prepares families. Is everybody with me? That's why he puts you in a family. Oh, hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2. Is everybody there? In verse 18. Colossians chapter 2, and verse 18. Listen, my spirit is jumping for joy right now. My spirit is jumping. And I'm going to share with you why, because the Lord is saying, this may sound funny, the Lord is saying, preach it. Preach it. Tell them I got to warn my people. Preach it. Don't be concerned what people think about you. Preach it. Tell them. Because they're end time warriors and they don't know who they are. Tell them. That's all I keep hearing. Preach it. Why are we getting this stuff? Amen. It doesn't take but little Gideon's army to destroy the powers of darkness. You know, it doesn't take much. It takes three little letters. Die. Glory to God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Read it with me, please. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, not holding fast to the head from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Now listen. Three major areas that I wanted to share with you was the twisting of the words, the loss of reality, and false humility. There's going to be a false humility. That's where the word says that as a man thinks, so he is. But he eats with you and talks with you. He says yes to you. He does all of these things. He has a sense of false humility. That's kind of like where the word says a form of godliness, but denying the power. Amen? That's what a false humility is about. That. That's a part of that captivity of delusion. Because a person seems to be humble in front of you, but does something different when they're not with you. Is everybody with me? He said, don't let nobody cheat you of your reward. Thoughts of wickedness. These are all a part of the end time delusions. Go to Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12. Hallelujah. Proverbs 12 and verse 5. Would you read it with me? Starting at 5. The thought of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are what? Deceitful. That's deceptive, isn't it? They're deceitful. Let's go to the next one. The words of the wicked are lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. Hello. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will what? Stand. Stand. That's where you and I must stand in every area. Thoughts of the wicked are deceitful and selfish. Go to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. Hallelujah. Sometimes I want to ask people, what planet are you on, man? What's the matter with you? But I know it's not them. I know it's a demon or the spirit that's hindering them. But see, you and I have got to be able to recognize it. We've got to be able to see our own fruits. We've got to be able to recognize these things in our own life. Because that's what the Lord says, every man must work out his own salvation. Hallelujah. Isaiah 26. And verse 3. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is what? Stayed on you. Why? Because he what? Trusts in you. For in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. For he brings down those who dwell on high, the lofty city. He lays it low. He lays it low to the ground. He brings it down to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, the feet of the poor, and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness, of most upright. You weigh the path of the just. Yes, in the day of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you. With my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early. And when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Go to Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12. In verse 7. You know, it's amazing that people are trying to counsel people when they haven't conquered their own delusions. People are trying to counsel other people when they haven't conquered their own delusions yet. They want to do all kinds of things for God and they can't get out of their own delusion. In verse 7, would you read it with me? Revelation 12, verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the what? Earth. And his angels were cast with him. So a third of the angels that were created are under Satan's authority. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, you who dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. I don't need to say anything about that. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. So we know that the devil, not only, like I shared before, he will be manifested in the flesh. He will come and put on flesh. But then, of course, he will be locked up for 1,000 years. But he's here on the earth right now. Him and his angels. They're here in this realm. He's not in the physical yet. But the Bible says that the devil comes as an angel of light. What's he doing that for? To deceive, isn't he? You know how many New Age movements have started? You know how many religions have started because of deceiving spirits? Huh? It's been going on since the fallen angels first came in. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. Would you read it with me? And you who were what? Alienated. And enemies where? In your mind by what? Wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If, this is another choice, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. What the devil wants to do is bring you alienation in the mind from God. Titus 1. A couple more scriptures, we're done. Simple teaching today, but essential. Titus chapter 1. Verse 15 and 16. Titus chapter 1. Is everybody okay? Are you getting it? You're going to get prepared for this. You got to prepare for war. The greatest outbreak of war will be the war of your mind. Verse 15. Would you read it? To the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they what? Deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Well, they profess to know him. Yeah, man, I know the Lord. I've been walking with him for a while. Yeah, this, that, whatever. Yeah. No, but I'm not going to do his will. I'm going to do mine. Well, then you don't know him. You don't know him. See, that's part of disqualifying. Where that outbreak of the mind is going to disqualify an individual because he's going to become alienated from the mind of Christ and be bound to the mind of the carnal. Psalm 19. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 19. Verse 12. Would you read it with me? Psalm 19 and verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Everybody but me and you, right? Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Now, how is he doing this? This is all about prayer, isn't it? Lord, he's going to the Lord. Lord, who can understand? Man, you know what? There are things I do that I don't even know what I'm doing that's offending you. Cleanse me from these secret faults of mind. Release me from the deceptions. See, if you're not taking your authority, who you are in Christ, and the enemy's using his authority over you. And if you're not submitting to authority that God has put over you, then you have none. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Who can understand his ears? Cleanse me, Lord, from my secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Why? Assuming gets everybody in trouble. Is everybody with me? Let them not have dominion over me, then I shall be what? Blameless. And I shall be innocent of great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I'm going to close at Philippians 2. Oh, hallelujah. Philippians 2. Starting at verse 1, Philippians 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being what? Like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each one esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others, that we may be what? Like-minded. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word today. Let this seed grow and bear fruit for your glory. I apply the blood of Jesus upon the seed. Prepare us for war, Master. Prepare us for this war. And Lord, if we're caught up in it already, Lord, we repent right now. And we break and loose ourselves from the delusions, the entanglements, darkness, the deceptions, and these corruptible seeds in the name of Jesus. Lord, prepare our heart even now, Lord, as we prepare for communion, because we want to be joined with you in spirit and in truth. So, Lord, again, we take this opportunity even now, and we repent for everything we've done that's offended you. Those areas where we've been pushed out of position, led astray, we've allowed our minds to come into captivity, even though that we knew it. Lord, forgive us for twisted words and manipulations and justifications of why we do what we do. Forgive us, Lord, for being led by feelings instead of truth. Lord, forgive us in every area that we've touched something unclean. And we ask, Lord, again, that you'd wash us with the blood. Remind you of the price of your Son. And as we partake of the bread and the wine this morning, we ask, Lord, that you'd refresh us and reunite us in the oneness with you. And we promise to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand.